Welcome back to the Dirt Show. Before we get to the serious legal and political issues of the day, a quirky story about animals in the law. So this is a true story. A great photographer went into the wild to photograph monkeys, gorillas, apes, and he couldn't get close enough to them. They would run away. So he left the camera on a tripod and left a mirror so the animals could see themselves, and then a button, and the animals would then press the button and take essentially selfies. And he then went and collected the selfies and wanted to sell them, obviously, for a profit. He had put a lot of effort into it, a lot of work and a lot of money into it. And PETA, the animal rights organization, sued him and said, no, he didn't have the copyright. He didn't take the picture. The ape that pressed the button had the copyright. And therefore, he had to pay whatever money he received from the pictures to the ape and to funds designed to support the ape. The case went all the way through the courts, and ultimately the courts held no, that he did have the right to the copyright. And then the copyright agency issued a clear, definitive, important order that PETA hated, saying animals do not have copyright. The copyright is always going to be in the person who got the animal to take the selfie or take the picture. All right, that's my quirky law bit for the day. I found it amusing. I hope you did too. So this is my end of the year show. We're approaching New Year's. There will not be another podcast between now and New Year's. So I'm asking the question on this podcast: was 2022 good or bad for America? And the answer is clear. Yes, it was both good and bad for America. There were some very good things. There's a lead editorial in the Wall Street Journal today that is entitled "Democracy Made a Comeback in 2022. And it goes through most of the positives that happened for democracy, not only in the United States, but around the world. And they make a fairly compelling case that there were some pretty good things for democracy. Congress actually passed some legitimate legislation. There was a little bit of cooperation between the Democrats and the Republicans. They list the most significant gun safety bill in decades. Now, some of my viewers will say, oh my God, that destroys democracy. What about the Second Amendment? No, these were gun safety bills that were entirely consistent with the Second Amendment. Legislative support for same-sex marriage, very important because it begins to federalize the issue and take it away from the states. They go through a number of other issues that they think were quite positive. Congress passed, this is very important, the Reform Electoral Act that clarifies the process for challenging election results during the tally of electoral votes in Congress. It means that Congress made it clear that the vice president's role is solely ministerial, and that the holder of this office has no discretionary authority to delay or reject slates of electors, preventing any future president from trying to do what President Trump did to Vice President Pence. Look, it's an improvement, but they didn't go far enough. Congress should pass a national electoral commission, much like Great Britain has, other European countries have, Israel has. This is a commission usually consisting of wise women and men, people who have been, say, former justices of the Supreme Court, presidents of universities, ministers, people who are beyond reproach. And when there's a challenge to an election, it doesn't go to a partisan Congress to make the decision. Instead, it goes to this commission. And this commission decides whether or not the election was fair or wasn't fair, and what aspects of the election were fair or not fair, and make suggestions for improvement. Be a tremendous step forward if Congress were able to pass and establish a permanent electoral commission, say with people serving 10-year terms, with an equal number of people who have backgrounds of Democrat backgrounds, Republicans, and hopefully some who have nonpartisan backgrounds or backgrounds that whose partisanship is not particularly apparent. That could be very, very helpful, but that hasn't been done. The Wall Street Journal classifies Ukraine as a success for democracy because the Ukrainians have obviously resisted with some degree of success and at a tremendous cost, tremendous price, the totally unjustified invasion by a tyrannical regime. In Russia, it also talks about successes in other democracies, the protests in Iran, street protests led mostly by women following the unjustified killing by Iranian police of a woman who was arrested for not wearing a proper a religious garb. The weakening of the Erdogan regime in Turkey. All of these are pluses for democracy. They also rank, and this is going to be very controversial with some of my viewers and listeners, they rank the election, the electoral results of 2022 midterm elections as a very positive step for democracy because the citizens of the country weakened any support for people who claim the election was not a proper election. Here's what it said. It was a good year for democracy at home and abroad. In this midterm election, many Republicans and independents drew the line between honorable conservative candidates and candidates who endorsed Donald Trump's lies about the 2000 presidential election was stolen. And they go through each of the elections and they show that in virtually every case where one of the candidates said the election was fair and the other one said it was stolen, the one who said it was stolen lost the election. Not in every case, but in the vast majority of cases. And they interpret that as a pretty overwhelming rejection of the notion that somehow the election was unfair. You know my views. My view is that Biden was absolutely properly elected, that there was a constitutional question about the Pennsylvania election and how the governor had expanded the time for voting beyond that permitted by the legislature, and that the Constitution doesn't permit that, but there weren't enough votes, even late votes. If you give them all to Donald Trump, not enough to change the outcome of the election, even in Pennsylvania, and certainly the outcome of the election would not have been changed by any legal challenges in any other state. So it was a completely legitimate election, and that's why I refused. This is public record. I didn't reveal anything. Turned down the opportunity to defend President Trump in his second impeachment because I didn't want to be part and parcel of any claim that the election was stolen or unfair. And I think the results of the 2022 midterm elections were probably good for democracy. A very narrow victory for Republicans in the House, a very narrow victory for Democrats in the Senate. Democracy works. Democracy prevailed. That's what the people wanted. They wanted a divided government. Very often we've had divided governments over the years. The framers of the Constitution understood that a bicameral legislature elected 2 years in the House, 6 years in the Senate, was not a prescription for efficiency. It was an attempt to prevent tyranny and to prevent any one branch or any one house within the legislative branch from assuming too much control. And so it worked. It worked pretty successfully. So those were some of the upsides that was good for the country. You can agree or disagree with those upsides, but I'm just reporting what the Wall Street Journal, you know, a conservative, generally pro-Republican newspaper, but anti-Trump newspaper, has reported. They went through a number of other issues, but those were the most important ones. What about the negatives? Well, the Wall Street Journal didn't really focus too much on the negatives, and I think there were a lot of negatives. Free speech suffered tremendously. in the year 2022 on college campuses, in the social media. Due process suffered enormously. And I don't think we've seen successes in immigration policy. The Supreme Court kicked the can down the road yesterday when it basically kept in effect the title that gave the administration certain powers, emergency powers under COVID. And Justice Gorsuch, in dissent, it was a 5-4 decision, said, no, you can't use an emergency that grew out of COVID. Now that that emergency is over, I'm, you know, talking from a COVID bed, basically. So it's certainly not over for me, but over as a national pandemic, to justify administrative regulations and emergency measures. So I don't think that we had a successful year with immigration. I do think that Ukraine, you have to regard that as a mixed year for democracy. Yes, Ukraine seems to be holding its own, but the death toll there and the injuries are staggering and unacceptable. Mostly, we've seen terrific defeats for free speech on college campuses. For example, Berkeley, the home of the free speech movement, simply has become a paragon of free speech for me, but not for thee. Today, 14 law school clubs, including the Feminist Club, the Gay Club, the Southeast Asian Club, will not allow people like me or you, presumably, to speak at any of these clubs on any issue. I can't speak on abortion rights. I can't speak on tax policy. I can't speak on gay rights. I can't speak about the First Amendment unless I'm prepared to hold my hand to God and swear that I don't believe in Israel's right to exist. If you believe in Israel's right to exist, even if you believe in the two-state solution, and even if you believe that Palestine should be a larger state than Israel, as long as you believe in any Jewish state, nation state of the Jewish people, then you can't speak at these 14 clubs on campus. And as Dean Erwin Chemerinsky, very able dean at the Berkeley Law School, said, that really precludes 90% of the Jewish students at Berkeley who believe in Israel's right to exist, including him. So the dean of the Berkeley Law School can't speak about constitutional law at 14 of the clubs. Is that a victory for free speech? Well, they may have the right under the Constitution to censor whoever they want to censor, but it surely is not a victory for free speech. It's despicable. And the question remains, it's a question I've asked before, should the names of officers of these clubs, the people who promoted this McCarthyite censorship, should they be made public so that law firms would know which law students were behind this censorship, so that the clients would know, do you really want to have somebody represent you who doesn't want to listen to anybody who disagrees with them on the issue of Israel? Palestine may be the right approach. Maybe the First Amendment approach, the answer to bad speech is good speech or full speech, maybe the right approach is to publish the names of people who are behind this censorship so that the public could judge for itself. I leave that to you. That's really an issue for a different day, but really a serious one worthy of consideration. So those are some of the pros and the cons. 2022 was a good year for me in the sense that finally, since 2014, when I was accused of having sex with somebody who was associated with Epstein, I denied it categorically and repeatedly. And finally, in 2022, she recognized that she may have been mistaken in identifying me as one of the people with whom she had sex. So that was a big plus for me. It didn't change very much. Organizations that canceled me as the result, the 92nd Street Y, the Temple Emanuel, the Ramah School, haven't extended invitations or haven't apologized. It was important for me. And so I would say on balance, that was what made it a good year for me. It was a mixed year for me as well. Ups and downs health-wise, I mean, getting older, I'm 84. But on balance, a good year. Let's hope that next year is a better year for everybody. I've said this before. that in Israel, a pessimist is defined as somebody who says, "Oy vey, things are so bad they can't possibly get worse," and an optimist says, "Yes, they can." So, do I think things could get worse in 2023? Yes, I think they can get much worse. Could they get better? Yes, I think they could get considerably better. What can we expect in 2023? Well, we may see an attack by either Israel or Israel and the United States, or Israel and the United States and Saudi Arabia against Iran's nuclear program. All three of those countries agree it would be unacceptable to the world to have a nuclear arsenal in the hands of one of the most barbaric countries in the world. This is a country that executes dissenters, executes gays, executes murders women who won't wear appropriate Sharia clothing. So it's certainly possible we could see a major event in Iran. But you never know what part of the world will explode. Who would have anticipated a year ago that the only hot war, the major hot war in the world today, would be in Ukraine? It was certainly not on the radar of very many people or very many intelligence agencies. Obviously, it grew out of the distorted mind of Putin and maybe some of his advisors, and it was a very, very bad thing for the world. What else do we think? What other unexpected events could arise? I can tell you one thing for sure. There will be events that, as we sit here today, are unexpected and unpredictable. That's the nature of our changing world. Will Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter have a profound effect on freedom of speech in America? It could. It already has. He's already disclosed what had been kept secret by Twitter for too long a period of time, namely that the government of the United States had spent money in an effort to try to get social media like Twitter to censor things that they disagreed with. That poses a multiple threat to the Constitution. The first threat is obviously to the First Amendment. The government is not allowed to, either directly or indirectly, try to censor constitutionally protected material. And if they did, if they put their thumb on the scale, or perhaps even their elbow on the scale, that was an implicit violation of the First Amendment. But equally disturbing is the fact that if they did it, they did it surreptitiously without accountability. And so the public couldn't know about it and couldn't complain about it and couldn't take legal action about it. So I give three cheers for Elon Musk for having revealed that, and I give him 2.5 cheers for his own efforts to censor less. Of course, the reason I took away that half a cheer is because he, at the beginning, tried to censor his own critics. I think he's backed off from that. But you give anybody the power to censor, and they're going to use it. And social media, we know, has virtually untrammeled power to censor or to encourage or to cancel or to highlight. And maybe they have too much power, but it's a power the First Amendment probably gives them. So I think the year to come will probably have some important developments for freedom of speech and for due process. Those are both works in progress, and they're very important. And we'll see in what direction they go. And so I'm hoping for a better year in 2023 and worried about a worse year. We always have to be ready for the worst. We always have to anticipate the dangers. I think nobody could have anticipated some of the dangers that we confronted in the first 22 years of the 21st century. I don't think anybody could have anticipated the reaction to the George Floyd killing. I don't think anybody could have anticipated the COVID crisis. I don't think anybody could have anticipated 9/11 and so many other unpredictable, unanticipatable events, which is why governments have to be nimble and they have to be ready. They have to be prepared for the unpreparable, prepared to respond to things that they couldn't conceivably have imagined. That's the essence of of good government. And that's the way we evaluate good government. Will we have an economic downturn? Will there be an economic crisis? Will it affect the 2024 election? Obviously, economic downturns generally affect the fortunes of the incumbents and those in power. So, but they also, those in power and incumbents, have a somewhat greater ability to control the economy than those out of power. So it's a knife that cuts both ways. But, you know, the Talmud says that prophecy ended with the destruction of the Second Temple. And Yogi Berra put it even more pithily, saying prediction is difficult, especially about the future. So I'm not in the business of telling you what I think will happen in 2023. I will tell you that it poses great dangers to democracy, to our economy, to our way of life. I didn't even mention climate effects and violence throughout the world. Great dangers confront us, and great opportunities. And who knows, we may see cures for some of the most dreaded diseases during this year. So let's prepare for pessimism and hope for optimism. And hopefully all of us will have a better 2023 than we had 2022. Okay, let me turn to some interesting letters that we got for the last couple of days. What is your reaction to Google labeling the word Jew as a pejorative? Well, A, they took it back, and B, of course, it's a serious mistake. I'm a Jew. I'm very proud of it. You know, if somebody starts yelling at people, Jew, 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 or painting Jew on people's houses, obviously context is everything. But the word Jew itself is an honorable word and should be honored. Jews get mad at stuff and they never admit they're wrong about anything. Take the Holocaust hoax. For example, instead of appreciating Germans and Nazis, we're supposed to really appreciate people who killed 6 million Jews and probably 50 million other people in the Second World War. Instead of appreciating Germans and Nazis, because it never happened, the Holocaust, they continue their lies and promote hatred of the white race. But if you listen to Whoopi Goldberg, of course, the Holocaust was directed against the white race, Jews being white. It's so interesting how people who hate Jews either regard them as white if they want to say something negative about them and they think white is a negative connotation, or deny that they're white if they want to say something negative about them as well. There's no limit to the imagination of horrible, miserable anti-Semites what's his name? Werefreeches. Werefeat. Oh, 35. That's the guy who denies the Holocaust, and he expects us to take anything he says seriously. Okay. Professor, here's a bulletin for you. This nation does not need aliens to renew the lifeblood of the country. It seems to me that Mother Nature already provides something that's called babies. Every population renews itself, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it goes on and makes this kind of absurd racist claim. It was the same claim that was made in the 1880s when my grandparents were coming over. Why do we need immigrants? Well, we have enough Americans. They're having babies. Well, think of what America would look like if not for the immigration that started in this country, say, in about 1850, with German immigration, then Irish immigration, Italian-American immigration, Jewish immigration, Greek immigration. How many diseases were cured by those immigrants? How many great pieces of music and shows and books and literature were produced? You know, the New York Times every year has a page in which it honors immigrants in this country and what they've accomplished. And if you just look at it, it's amazing. So no, you're wrong. It's not going to be done by just replicating the population. Immigration is crucially important to renewing the lifeblood of a country. And that's been proved in America since the day it came into existence. So three cheers for the immigrants who've made America a great. And I suspect that whoever wrote this letter probably has parents, grandparents, great grandparents who were immigrants themselves. It reminds me of the comic routine that Yakov Smirnov, a Russian immigrant, used to have in his television show. He would be standing in front of the Statue of Liberty with his thick Russian accent and saying, "Oh, thank you, Ms. Liberty, for saving all of us immigrants from Russian oppression. Thank you so much. Now I just want you to do one more thing. Could you please keep the rest of those damn immigrants out?" That's the way in which many Americans have approached immigration. "Thank you for letting us in. We really improved the country, but we don't really need other people because they come from," or as he says it in his letters, shithole countries. Well, my parents, my grandparents came from Poland, and, you know, not a country that I think they were very proud of. 1968, even 20 years after the Holocaust, the Poles conducted another pogrom against Jews in 1946. After the Holocaust was over, they murdered Jews in a town called Kielce. Not a country that that I'm proud to have been part of. There's some great Polish people and great Polish history, but the history of Poland in the last 100 years has not been something to be proud of, except that it produced a great many Polish Americans who now serve with extraordinary distinction in every aspect of American life. And I think the same can be true said about many other countries that the immigrants themselves have produced a tremendous amount of positive results for America, even if you don't like the countries. The people who left didn't like the countries either. That's why they left. My parents didn't leave. My grandparents didn't leave Poland because they loved it. They left Poland because they were being murdered and they were being subject to pogroms and they were being subject to discrimination. So that's in the nature of immigration. There's a lot of letters about Jews today. Remember, we talked about Santos and that he claimed he was not Jewish. He was Jewish. How many Jewish folks are named Santos is the question. Well, many. You know, if you go past the synagogue that's in my corner of my house, the Central Synagogue, and every week it has the names of the bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah boys and girls. And it's remarkable. You see the names of the bar mitzvah boys, Sullivan, O'Connor, Farinelli. You know, there are so many mixed marriages today and conversions that you just can't tell a Jew by their last name. So yeah, there are probably a lot of Jews named Santos. It's probably also a Sephardic Jewish name. So, you know, don't judge Jews any longer by their ethnicity. It used to be you could do a census of a Jewish population by just looking in the phone book and seeing how many cones there were and extrapolate or Levines. That's no longer the case with Jewish integration into marriage and conversion. Okay, let's see if we have time for any more. Let's see, at least one more. Santos seems to be a complete clown and a confidence man who fooled many of his fellow people with his hollow words, but he was lawfully elected by voters. He will serve his term, but the speaker shouldn't allow him to sit on committees and just let the New York voters decide in 2024 if there should be consequences for his false statements. Lies are in fact speech, so he can say he has green hair when it's obvious his hair is not green. Thanks for your great podcast. Look, I think that's probably the right approach. And I don't think he should be denied committee status unless that's done on both sides. And I think it should be done on both sides. That committee assignment should not be rewards for bigotry or for lying. Let's see. Okay, one more question about Jews. Just a lot today. I'm still waiting for any Jew to explain what Kanye said that was anti-Semitic. But let me begin. Jews should be, the Jewish people should be subjected to DEFCON 3. DEFCON 3. The man is an ignoramus. The man is a bigot. And if you don't think it's anti-Semitic to use death and Jewish people in the same sentence following the Holocaust and having lunch with a notorious Holocaust denier and anti-Semite, you know, Trump may not have known about him, but certainly Kanye West knew who he was bringing to lunch. So no, don't defend Kanye West. He's a bigot and anti-Semite and an ignoramus. Hey, That's just my opinion. So please, everybody, have a happy New Year, a safe New Year. Don't drive when you're drinking and wear masks when you're in crowds and try your best not to get as sick as I got over COVID and try to have a good year. And may 2023 be better than 2022. Happy New Year.